بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who granted us such afia, such safety and security and serenity. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings that He's given us. Alhamdulillah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He keeps us in afia. And Ya Rab, when You test us, Ya Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us strength through the test. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe in the test. We ask Allah ta'ala that we can pass the test with flying colors, inshallah. So we are discussing the story of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And you're going to find, subhanAllah, that the majority and the bulk of the story is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Majority of this is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're going to... Jazakumullah. We spoke about prior. لَقَدَ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفُ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتُ لِلسَّائِلِينَ I spent a little bit of time last week. I wanted to go into a little bit more detail this time. That surely in Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers are a sign for those who ask. And so the general understanding is that when the Meccan people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked them, and they asked him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how is it that the family of family of Bani Israel or the people of Bani Israel moved to Egypt? How did they get there? And so then the whole Surah Yusuf comes down. So this is that ayah telling us, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَةٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ For that question they asked, Allah revealed this entire Surah for them. Along with that is another reminder for everyone, that anyone who asks the question about family matters, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ Yusuf and his brothers, his family. Anyone who has any questions about how to deal with family, how to get through the trouble and the patience of family, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam will help a person through all of that, inshallah ta'ala. I want to make sure, and I also made one mistake last time. I said that prophethood dreams were 136 of Nubuwa, it's 146. Sittin wa sab'ina, right? Juz'an min ajza'in Nubuwa. That interpreting dreams, I'm sorry, dreams themselves are 146 of Nubuwa. So I wanted to make that correction before we continue. So keeping this in mind, what we talked about last time was, Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salam was received by his children. His children wanted to go out with Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And they kept pushing and pushing. And Ya'qub alayhi salam tried his utmost best to explain to his children, Inni la yahzununi, it makes me sad. It depresses me that you should go with him. I don't want Yusuf too far away from me. And he tries to his level best to explain it to his children. And this is the same way parents, they try their level best to explain something to their kids. You try your hardest to explain it. And you start off first mentioning, it makes me feel bad, right? But generally, what do kids do? Do they care about our emotions? Absolutely not. SubhanAllah, you are Ya'qub alayhi salam in the story. You see that no matter what you feel, it doesn't matter because the kid has a different goal in mind. La yahzununi, it makes me sad. Antazhabu bihi, wa khafa ya'kulu dhibu antum anhu ghafilun. And then he goes and says that I'm scared that a wolf will come. Hypothetical wolf will come. And then it will eat him. And then it's not because you're weak, my sons. It's not because you're not strong, my sons. It's because of the fact that you can't be protecting all the time. Ghafla, negligence is bound to occur. Whoever you are, you're going to be negligent. It's just a matter of time. So Ya'qub alayhi salam, even while explaining to his sons, does not deride or degrade his sons. It's a reminder for every parent that when you have to tell your children something uncomfortable, don't make them feel bad. Okay? The thing is that, subhanAllah, the Desi parent mentality, Bangladeshi Desi parent mentality, is that subhanAllah, no, if you have to tell your kid something you disagree with, you also have to insult him too, right? Somehow, you have to make fun of him before the conversation is over. So you'll tell him that this is not a good thing and you're an idiot too. Like you're just dumb. Like you couldn't even understand such a simple thing, right? He's like 4 years old and you're yelling at him like as if he's like a Harvard graduate, subhanAllah. Like this is the thing. Ya'qub alayhi salam makes sure in his beautiful message to his children is, my children, I am your father. You should be concerned about my emotions. And number two is that, son, I'm not degrading you or disrespecting you. You guys are good kids, but everyone's a human being. Everyone makes mistakes. So he gives a beautiful explanation to his children, which his children absolutely do not care about. قَالُوا لَئِنْ أَكَلُوا الذِّئْبُ They say, oh, father, If a wolf were to eat him, and we're like these strong, good, muscular boys, then we'll surely be the worst. We'll be the losers. And so ultimately, like we spoke about last time, they convinced, they kept pushing and pushing, pestering their father. And this is why we're learning adab and habits. Don't bother your parents, right? This is what we're learning here, is that don't bother your parents. If they said no one time, don't keep asking 15 times for Rebecca, okay? Just leave it go, let it go. They don't want to hear it and try to maybe come at a different time. You're going to notice it, inshallah, in the story about people doing things at different times. We're not even close to that. We're still in act one, scene two. We're not even there yet, okay? We have a lot of more time to get there. But having said that, like, don't pester, don't bother. My father's still a human, right? He gets angry like everyone else. I shouldn't disrespect him and bother him like so. Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers absolutely do not care. So they continue to ask and ask. And eventually what happened? فَلَمَّا ذَهَبُوا هِهِ They go with him. أَجْمَعُوا أَيَّجْعَلُوا فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبُ So they try, they make this plan to ultimately throw him into the well. And at that moment, I really quickly skipped over. And I want to, inshallah, explain to you how beautiful what Allah Ta'ala tells Yusuf alayhi salam. Because it's so remarkable in this one line. Allah Ta'ala, while Yusuf alayhi salam is falling, وَاجْمَعُوا أَيَّجْعَلُوا فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبُ While he's going down, you can imagine the depth of a well. Do you understand what this is? This is the tragedy and the trauma that you and I see what's happening to Palestinian children every single day now for over a month on end, that people are seeing such terrible things happening to these kids. This is what's happening to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam at this very moment. He's being thrown into the well, not by people that are strangers, not by people he didn't know, but by the very people that he thought loved him the most. By the very people that he thought loved him the most. This is a reminder in Dalil. I mentioned this multiple times, that the jealousy is going to come in our lives. It's not from people who are on random Facebook. It's going to come from the people who are closest to us. This is why I have to be careful about jealousy and be careful of those who show they love you on the outside, but in their heart it's something else. SubhanAllah, one night I woke up, and mashallah, it was because my son Lut was like crying so much, subhanAllah. So I said, this is my alarm from Allah to wake up, pray some rakats of nawaz, right? And subhanAllah, I'm praying the salah, and then eventually my family wakes up. And so she goes and says, she starts complaining something. I forgot what it was, whatever. So again, so then later on, I said that, you gave me such an earful at that time. She said, I just felt very envious that I wish I could be in your position. I said, oh, you're supposed to love me the most, baby. You can't do that to me, subhanAllah. The thing is that you never know where it comes from. That's a joke. Okay, don't worry. She's not doing hasad on me, I hope, subhanAllah. My reminder to everyone is, you don't know where the hasad is coming from. Be careful with your own life. That's their life, and this is your life. Yusuf alayhi salam, with this gham, with this depression, with this sadness, he's falling into the well. My beloved brothers, my beautiful 10 brothers that I looked up to as my seniors, as those who are my like my father to me, they threw me into the well. This is the tragedy that Yusuf alayhi salam is going through at this moment. At that moment, while he's falling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala catches Yusuf alayhi salam. وَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ We revealed to him. We gave him wahi. We made him a nabi at this moment. Not with just a normal message, but such a specific message to him. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ You shall surely give them the message. You will inform them with whatever just happened right here. Everything that just happened right here. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ They're not even going to understand or even comprehend what just happened before them. While you're explaining it to them, they will not realize that you're explaining it to them. What did Yusuf alayhi salam receive from this beautiful message? لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا Number one, he's told by Allah that the Naba is from Nubuwa. Naba is from Nubuwa. It's this amazing message that will come. Oh, Yusuf alayhi salam, you're being transformed and turned into a Nabi now. Now, subhanAllah, who's a Nabi? By definition, is he someone who follows or is he followed? He is followed by the people of his time. They must follow the Nabi. So Allah Ta'ala tells Yusuf alayhi salam, first and foremost, your brothers are going to become your followers one day. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا Number one, first and foremost. Number two is that he's going to inform them of a big, huge news. Naba means huge news, right? So now, is he going to do it from the bottom of the well? How can he do it from underneath? That's a terrible message. Even Donald Trump coming from underneath the well. No one's going to listen to that guy, right? You gotta give a message from a higher place. لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ So Allah is informing Yusuf alayhi salam, oh Yusuf, one day we'll come outside the well. You're going to get out of this situation. Don't worry. Number two. Number three is that obviously at that moment, if he's going to inform them, he's not going to be a little child anymore. He's going to be an adult, strong man. You're going to be older, Yusuf. Don't worry. This time will come when you get out of the well, inshallah. And thereafter, he goes and says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in a way that they don't even recognize. In other words, O Yusuf, you'll be such a different person. Your hal, your condition will be so different. Your brothers won't even recognize who you are anymore. This is the beautiful thing Allah does telling Yusuf alayhi salam. Along with this, right? Along with this, it's a reminder for everyone. If we can keep the noise down. Arif Bhai is trying to tell them he's making the most noise. Along with this, Yusuf alayhi salam is being told that, oh Yusuf, you will tell, you won't harm them, you won't hurt them. Because ultimately, when you love someone, you don't want them to be harmed. Allah, may Allah forgive all of us. Many times, subhanAllah, when someone does something wrong against us, we want to see that the person's life go miserable and destroyed. Allahu Akbar. This is the way of the kuffar, it's not the way of a Muslim. It's not the way of a Muslim to, when you see someone who did something wrong to you, you want to see their life being destroyed. This is the way of a kafir, it's not the way of the Muslim. We did not learn it from our qawm, meaning the qawm of the Muslimin. We learned it from Bollywood, to see that people should be destroyed after they did something wrong to us. This is the way of other people, not the qawm of the Muslimin. The qawm of the Muslim always, that we're looking for islah, people to become better. Even our enemies, we wish they can accept hidayah in Islam. That's why one of the greatest enemies of Islam in the beginning was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And subhanAllah, Rasulullah says he used to make dua every night for Umar radiallahu anhu. And he became one of the greatest people in Islam to the point that he walked in the morning to go and kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam night. And what do you find now? He's buried right next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only Allah can do these things. Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu, the one of the greatest of all generals. Militarily speaking, the man was a champ. He is top G radiallahu anhu. He is someone, subhanAllah, that even non-Muslims will look at his military skill. This is the only person that Muslims lost a battle to. They never lost to anyone else except for Khalid ibn Walid. He's just so good at it. So the Prophet just makes this, he's the enemy of Islam at the time. The Prophet just talking to one random person and says, Khash, you know, I wish that Khalid is such a smart person. How do you not accept Islam yet? Rasulullah makes such a passing remark. This message is passed on to Khalid ibn Walid. He hears this. He comes to the Prophet and says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abdu Rasulullah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, when Yusuf hears this from Allah Ta'ala that you're going to inform and not harm or hurt your brothers, Yusuf is so happy. Because he doesn't want to hurt his brothers. This is the ultimate tasliya and serenity and sakina given to him. Tasalli from Allah to Yusuf alayhi salam, from Allah himself, Rabbul Alameen. Allah is telling Yusuf, just be patient right now. Have some sabr, Yusuf. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Remember this, that surely with every difficulty comes ease. Yusuf alayhi salam is not the only one talking to Allah. You and I, every time you open the Quran, you get to talk to Allah. Allah informs you exactly what it is. This is why I tell everyone, open the Quran and read the message of the Quran. Because it's not just Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receiving that message of the Quran. You and I, every time you open the Quran, Allah is talking to you. Allah is talking to you. So when Yusuf alayhi wa sallam hears the message from Allah, Allah that is telling, oh Yusuf, with every difficulty comes ease. Allah that says, wasbir wa ma saburuka illa billah. Oh Yusuf, be patient. Your patience is only with Allah. And Allah that says, inna Allaha Ma'as-sabirin. Allah is with those who are patient. Allah is with those who are patient. That is not only for Yusuf alayhi salam. That is for every single person who feels like they're in the bottom of the well right now. If you feel like in life, you're in a position where you cannot move, that all four walls around you are completely sealed up, that you have no family to help you, no work to help you, no wife to help you, no one to help you, you are where Yusuf alayhi salam is in your life. And in that moment, you need to understand, Allah says, I am with you because you are patient. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Now you must understand that and recognize Allah is saying, don't worry. If I am with you, can anyone ever make you fail? Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the nasr, innama nasru ma'as sabr. That if you are patient, Allah will give you help. Allah will give you help. This is a beautiful message to Yusuf alayhi salam. He's in the bottom of the well and he's receiving this message, this comforting message from Allah Ta'ala. And this one illumination in the bottom of the well is enough nur to illuminate the whole world. Because he became a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala in the bottom of the well, subhanAllah. People don't realize what they receive at the time when they feel like you're in the lowest position in your life. You'll receive such things from Allah, such nur in your heart will come. But you have to understand that Allah will give you the solution. If you become frustrated and upset, you're not going to get anything from it. Rather be patient and understand the same way, the same Allah that made Yusuf alayhi salam Nabi at the bottom of the well with the same Allah that will transform my life, inshallah ta'ala. Yusuf alayhi salam gets all this stuff in the bottom of the well. And subhanAllah, What do we see? The scene shifts. Allah says, "Oh Yusuf, don't worry. One day you're going to be big and strong. You're going to inform your brothers about everything that just happened and all this different stuff." What do we see? وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ. They go to their father. عِشَاءً. Not at a normal time. They come at night time. عِشَاءً. Late night. Okay, now subhanAllah, you and I, mashallah, in the nice city of Burlington, subhanAllah, there are some lights, mashallah. Sometimes the power goes out. Sometimes Eversource comes. Sometimes they don't come, subhanAllah. One thing that you notice, subhanAllah, when the power goes out, I think everyone, right, that you've seen that when the lights go out, how dark it gets, okay? And many of us, subhanAllah, might have lived in a gao or a village, mashallah, my own experience as well, that when you're living in a village, you see how dark it gets. At Isha time, there is nothing. You need to walk out with a flashlight to go for the namaz, or else you're going to step on everything in the world, the whole dunya you're going to step on. Forget about like cow dung and everything. You're going to step on everything, subhanAllah. That's how dark it gets, okay? And subhanAllah, we always have the lights on, so we never realize. The sons are coming to Yaqub alayhi salam, not in the daytime, but coming at nighttime. Why are they coming at nighttime? Because these boys are total liars. And so they need to make sure their story is as convincing as possible. So they made a second mashwara and they thought, what is the best time to go to our dad? Go at a time where you cannot see our faces. Aisha and Yabakun, they're crying coming to their father. But are these real tears? These are crocodile tears. The crocodile is not crying. The crocodile is looking for the next meal. The crocodile is hungry. Okay, some of us, mashallah, at home, the wife looks at us like a crocodile. Subhanallah. May Allah ta'ala make us insan. You know, subhanallah. Subhanallah. The crocodile is crying, not because he's crying, just kind of like, you know, it's fake. It just kind of comes out more just because of a physical, biological reaction for what is outside, right? He's not really crying. The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam are just smearing, you know, tears onto their face, right? They're just kind of rubbing it, right? Subhanallah, right? So someone, subhanallah, a little kid saw people in Ramadan Taraweeh, Khatm Taraweeh, right? Everyone's crying. So he's like, man, no tears coming. So then he took some water and just like, you know, he just rubbed down his face. So that he could make it look like, so everyone looking like, oh, mashallah, what to be, mashallah, he's will be kind of, he's also crying, mashallah. You know, this is what we do, Allah forgive, subhanAllah, okay? Allah salli wa sallam. Isha and Yabakun, I was talking about this, right? Isha and Yabakun, they come to the father in such a convincing, as devious and conniving as they can bring it. They bring it before their father. Isha and Yabakun, not only that, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا ذَهَبْنَا نَسْتَبِقُ وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا. Father, we went and we started racing and we left Yusuf by our stuff. وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا. Father, فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّبْ. The wolf came. The wolf ate him. The same wolf the father made up. They didn't even bother making up a better story. They said, forget it. That which Abuji gave us is good enough for us. Now it's good enough. Right? Instead of taking the message from before, now they're taking some part of the most twisted part. This is what happens, right? You want, after your bayan, that people remember the actual parts of sabr, right? Like, I spent about like 5 minutes talking about sabr right now. Probably everyone after bayan is going to remember the fact that I said about the kid crying and rubbing his face with the water. Like, the part I didn't want you to remember, you remember that part, right? You, Yaqub alayhi salam, gave them, inni la yahzununi, it makes me depressed. I wish you could have remembered that, but you remember the wolf, some random thing I talked about. This is the thing, the danger. The joke is the rest stop to help you guys feel a little bit of rahat, and then we continue with the important parts, okay? Remember the important parts. Yaqub alayhi salam seeing right before his very eyes, the children before him are taking the worst part of that which he talked to them with. And they go and say, فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّبْ وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّا صَادِقِينَ. He said, oh, Father, you can't. You will never believe us, Father. You will never believe us. You don't love us. You hate us. Even if we were telling the truth, you still think we're liars. Allah, Allah, subhanAllah. You are, they said, Father, even if we were telling the truth, you still will call us liars. Because why? That's how much you don't love us. Allahu Akbar. Now they're tugging the heartstrings of their father. And they're doing so much. And Yaqub alayhi salam just listening right now. Could you imagine what's happening to him? Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam sitting there looking at these kids, little children before a sheikh, not just sheikh, but Nabi alayhi salam. You think you can lie to a Nabi? Subhanallah, he gets naba from Allah. Like, subhanallah. He's sitting there looking at these kids. Just start. He's fine. It was a rough night last night, subhanallah. You know, difficult time. He finds his children that they're lying before him in right in front of his face. And they're coming at this nighttime and they're pretending all this stuff and they're saying, you wouldn't believe us. Walau kunna sadiqeen. That's why Qadi, I think it was Sha'bi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that, listen, that don't believe every tears that come before you. Every time, subhanAllah, I'm telling you, how many counseling sessions we deal with? How many counseling sessions we deal with? So many of them, right? And subhanAllah, after dealing with so many, I can't tell you how many tears we've seen, okay? From both sides. The husband and the wife are crying, and everyone's crying, and everyone's just showing something, right? Listen, the tears don't affect the Molana, trust me, okay? He's crying inside. He has a miserable life himself. Don't worry about it, okay? He's crying inside. So subhanAllah, the thing is that this is the thing. We don't believe tears. We have to reconcile and make the situation better. This is why I remind everyone, Sha'bi rahimahullah, a woman came in crying into the qada office. A woman came into the qadi office and crying and crying and crying. And then, like, you know, like he's looking at her, tearing up and all this different stuff. And people are like, oh, Imam Sha'bi, she must be telling the truth. Her husband must have been such a zalim, etc., etc. He said, Waja'u abahu ishaan yabakun. He quoted this ayah of the Quran. He says, no, even the brothers of Yusuf alayhisalam came crying. You don't just believe every tear that comes before you. You have to be objective, okay? And that's the thing. If you're trying to solve the problem, one side crying is not going to solve the problem. You got to see what caused everything together and move forward from there, inshallah. But keeping that in mind, so you don't want to believe everything that comes before you. Yaqub alayhisalam is looking at the children. And he's just like, okay, what happened to Yusuf? You're telling me a wolf ate him? I just told you that so that you could not go with him, right? You think Yaqub alayhisalam was really saying a wolf was going to eat him? No, why would a wolf even, like, that's just weird. Like, why would a wolf just randomly, there's like 12 kids that are sitting together. Why would a wolf just randomly jump on them? You know, a wolf is conniving, he's tricky. He's not going to do that. So the brothers were like, yo, we have to be smarter than this. وَجَاءُوا عَلَى قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ وَجَاءُوا, they came with the qamis of Yusuf alayhi salam. They had one of the shirts of Yusuf alayhi salam, or when they threw Yusuf in the well, they pulled the shirt off of him before they threw him in the well. Bidamin kazib. They came and they put on lying blood. This is what the Quran says, right? Lying false blood onto it, right? So generally people say that the lying false blood of this is they slaughtered a ram, and then they just dipped it into it. They dipped the shirt into the blood of the ram, and they brought it before their father. And and the reason why Yaqub alayhi salam, he was able to notice it wasn't because it wasn't ripped, right? They say because it wasn't ripped. But my personal and humble experience and understanding is, if you're going to plan this much and you didn't think that to rip the shirt a little bit, I just find that to be a little bit, they're so smart, as you can tell. I don't think they're going to be this not smart to figure out to just kind of rip it a little bit. It seems like there's something else, and the Quran really highlighted this. And I spent a lot of time. I was sitting at home. I called up some police officers. I called up a shepherd. I called a whole bunch of people, subhanAllah, to kind of get an idea about what does damin kezib mean? False blood, right? Because when they dipped it into the blood of the ram, right? They dipped the shirt into the blood of the ram. So I asked the police officer, I said, is there any difference between the blood of a human being and the blood of a ram? And he told me that there are things that only forensic scientists can see. Because obviously it's something deep. This is the Quran talking, right? So when Allah says lying blood, he's telling you that animal blood and human blood are not the same thing. And really, when you put it in the microscope, they're not the same. That's why you can't do blood transfusions, right? People tried to do that crazy stuff before. Blood animals have different blood types. This is a miracle of the Quran. You know, 1400 years ago, it's telling us that the blood of a human and animals are two different things. Subhanallah. Keeping this in mind, he said that a forensic scientist can tell the difference between this. This is some CSI type stuff, right? So then he goes and says, but I can tell you that the blood of a, I show them some pictures and stuff like that. And I literally, my phone is so bloody right now. If you saw all the different pictures, like all the different things, you'd be like, oh my God, what is Maulana looking up and all this stuff? He sent me, mashallah, just some analysis. He sent me, subhanAllah, he showed me that the blood of a human is very thin. And the blood of a goat is very thick. And he also told me that the smell of human blood is very different from the smell of animal blood. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And if you know, the only two people in the world that can notice it with distinction is a forensic scientist and a shepherd. And who's Yaqub alayhi salam? He's a shepherd. So he sees the blood on the shirt and he says, that is sheep blood. Why would you make me think that is human blood? I know the difference. Along with that, is that a ram, when he spews blood, he's spewing blood like crazy, right? A lot of blood is coming out. When a wolf were to try to attack a person, how much blood will come out? Not so much. It's going to tear and rip and it's going to be splattered all over. The blood of the sheep is much thicker and it's a lot more, right? And there's so many different things. So Yaqub alayhi salam is looking at this. His eyes are telling him. His nose is telling him. By every way, he's looking at this blood. And he's saying, this is not human blood. This is a sheep blood. So he goes and says, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّرَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He said, No, my sons. You're crying this nighttime. All this different stuff that just happened. The blood you showed before me. Oh, no, my sons. بَلْ سَوَّرَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Your desires have beautified something terrible for you. Your desires have beautified something terrible for you. that it was taswil in Arabic is to take something which is so ugly and horrendous and evil, and then your nafs, your desires, makes it so beautiful. Right? SubhanAllah, there's so many things I could point towards and examples about how this happens in our own lives. Okay? And this is obviously, we're trying to make it to the act finish of Act 1, Scene 1 and everything, so I don't have enough time to go through it. But I recommend people, inshallah, to think about how many times in our life a haram was brought before us, and with that one haram, we try to make it as halal as possible. Try to pretend like it was halal. Because why? It's the end, brother. Think about the end, brother. Not right now. Don't think about the haram we're doing right now. Don't think about the girl, Elizabeth or whatever, right now. Think about the haram that can happen later on, right? I mean, the halal that can happen later on. Inshallah, she'll become a Muslimah. Inshallah, ta'ala, whatever, whatever. Right? SubhanAllah, people have such good hearts, mashallah. It's not because you wanted this girl. No, no, definitely not. It's not because you have some lust in your heart. No, 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 no. It must be because you're a good person, subhanAllah, right? People do this all the time. Allah forgive. Allah sabkum maaf kare. Allah forgive everyone. We do this all the time. Every haram you've done and every haram I've done, I've justified it somehow. Sawwalat lakum anfusukum amra. He says, you have done this terrible thing, sons. And you're not speaking straight to me. And you're not telling me what it is. And you're not going to speak to your father clearly. So he says, I only have one option. فَصَبَرٌ جَمِيلٌ. He said, so then my only option is one option. I must do beautiful patience. I must do beautiful patience. Beautiful patience. What is beautiful patience? How can I explain to you all what is beautiful patience? You know it when you see it. But let me give you an example. Because sabr comes from sabir in Arabic, which is bitter. Something you taste which is bitter. Now, subhanAllah, in Bangladeshi community, we have the most exotic of all flavors. Okay, the nagamorich and all these different things that people eat, these mirchis that we have, are things that should not have existed for mankind. SubhanAllah, these are things that shayateen should eat. Allahu Akbar, we devour it all the time. MashaAllah. Okay, so the spice is something and the bitter is something. And I think, MashaAllah, people here have maybe a taste for bitter. Okay, it's like for us, it's like sour patch. This is the ba'id min al bitter for us. Right? This is the most bitter that we get. Right? The Allahu Akbar. The bitter the hamd that we have in like American culture is probably like a warhead. Any of you guys like warheads? Some of us like it, some of us don't. Which is a good example. Okay, now follow me here. So then my wife will cook something extremely bitter, and at my face when I eat the bitter, she says, "Try this." I said, "Please no, please for the love of God, no, please." And she said, "No, no, just try it. It's gonna be good." And then I try it, and my face becomes what? The smallest like raisin you could ever imagine. Like it becomes so wrinkled up, right? And so that was happening when you eat the warhead. Literally the guy's face in the warhead is like this, right? You know, like he's like, it's showing you how bitter it is, right? And so you see it on his face about how bitter it's become. But when you see someone who likes bitter eat bitter, do you see their face change? They're enjoying it. They're savoring it. It's nice. It feels good. That is sabr jameel. Sabr jameel is when a person realizes and recognizes from themselves, I have no way out of the situation I am in. The best thing is just to enjoy the sabr while I'm in it. Because while I'm going through the sabr, who is with me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with me. When you realize that, you will have sabr jameel. That's why the hadith and the narrations mention, Alladhi la shakwa fi. There's no complaining in the sabr. There's no bitterness. The face of the person does not change. They're fine. They're okay. They're happy. I tell people, subhanAllah, look, we go through difficulties. People going through difficulties. Palestinian people going through difficulties. You and I, subhanAllah, may Allah protect. But we might hear one day that our child gets cancer. May Allah protect all of us. But when that child receives cancer, is there anything you can do at that moment? At that moment when you see the cancer before you, the only thing you can say is either I get upset and angry with Allah, or you know what, I say Allah has a reason and Allah has a purpose and Allah has a maqsad behind this. So Allah ta'ala janta hai, maine nahi janta. I don't, Allah knows, I don't know. So I should trust Allah and I'll enjoy the sabr while I'm going through it. This is sabr jameel. When a person gets to enjoy. And so when you see a person who has sabr jameel, wallahi, you'll see the face of our Palestinian brothers and sisters. When you look at their faces, subhanAllah, losing family members, losing friends, losing children. And when that precious mother is holding her young boy, 5, 6 years old, like Yahya's age, like subhanAllah, that stuff like gets to you. It hits you hard. She's holding him and just reciting, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. If that's not sabr jameel, I don't know what sabr jameel is. This is what happens, subhanAllah, when one non-Muslim doctor goes to the area of Gaza, right? Someone shared the video. It was very nice. This one non-Muslim doctor, she goes to the area of Gaza and she's working with the Muslims there. And she says, when they asked her, would you ever want to go back to Gaza and go back and work with them? She said, well, she said, I in a heartbeat, I will be back. I would love to go back. Because when I saw the determination from these people, when they were given offers to move from the north of Gaza to the south, the doctors were given the permission to go from the north to the south. They did not leave. They did not go. They said, no, there are patients to take care of. If they will die, then we will die with them. She said, they had such hearts I wish I had. They had such hearts I wish I had. And she said, if I could have that heart, I could die happily. The non-Muslim kafiran sister saying about the heart of a Muslim when it's become pakka with sabr jameel. Everyone has to go through sabr jameel. My brothers and elders in Islam, sometimes you're waiting for a court case. That's sabr jameel. What else are you going to do? Just be at home and be upset and just play like Fortnite all day? Like, oh man, I'm angry. Oh man, I'm so mad. No man, make sabr jameel. Just Allah knows best. Smile through it. Don't worry. Allah said he's going to take care of it. The same Rabb that kept my mom, I kept in my mother's womb for 9 months. Inshallah, that is a matter of time before everything gets resolved, right? Some of our wives, subhanAllah, have to make lots of sabr jameel, subhanAllah. Lots of sabr jameel, Allahu Akbar, right? One sister, I tell you, I got all these weird khabars, right? The one sister's like, Sheikh, my husband is like going through some paranoia. He likes seeing jinnat and stuff like that. Like, what do I do, Sheikh? And all this stuff. I'm like, just don't be a jinnat in his life, you know? Like, subhanAllah, right? Like, Allahu Akbar, right? Like, subhanAllah, so, you know, people think like, why do I talk like so down about marriage, you know? People are like, isn't marriage such a wonderful? Trust me, marriage is wonderful, okay? I'm telling you, marriage is wonderful. And I joke a lot, but I'm telling you, marriage is wonderful, alhamdulillah. But I try to lower people's expectations because we come in with some weird Disneyland expectations, some Bollywood stuff, and that really screws up your marriage. Does that make sense? May Allah forgive, but we come in with this huge expectation about what is going to be. I'm going to marry Hurun Ayn. He's going to be a Rajul min al-Jannah, min ashabin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's going to be a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they find out it's like this weird guy who like scratches his like butt sometimes and like has weird hair growing, all the different stuff. And then, you know, you get so, that's why I tell everyone. I think I mentioned almost every marriage bayan. I tell them, I say, you don't need Maulana when it comes to your happy times. You need Maulana when it comes to the difficult times, right? And I try to remind people that, look, it's going to be a little tough. You're going to have wonderful. Marriage is wonderful. Alhamdulillah. Marriage is a wonderful experience. If you get someone who's like 51%, mashallah, you know, alhamdulillah, it's a great experience. It's a great experience. But there are tough times. And that's when sabr jameel needs to come out. That's why I tell, subhanAllah, like, I have a sheikh. I have my ulama. I say, but my wife is my biggest sheikh. She's my hazrat. She will make tarbiyah of me better than anybody else. Because she will tell me, why did I leave that towel there? And why did I do that there? And why didn't I wash the cup? And why didn't I do this? Why didn't you make the bed? Why didn't you do that? SubhanAllah. And I take everything sabr jameel. Because I tell myself, SubhanAllah, she's not telling me to make, maybe she wants to make my life miserable. I don't know. But you know, she's not, I can become a better person if I just take it in strides. And I enjoy it while I'm going through it. So she's my hazrat because of that. Does that make sense? People are looking at it like, oh, what a musiba, what a musiba. No, no. What a wonderful blessing from Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Because why? I remind myself that I didn't write this woman for me. Allah wrote her for me. And my Rabb would not do wrong with me. My Allah would always want good for me. Alhamdulillah. This is how you think about Allah Ta'ala. And then you'll be fine, inshallah. I'm not saying everything will be always perfect and, you know, loosey-goosey and nice and everything. But you have to remember, sabr jameel is a very important principle. Yaqub alayhi salam is teaching us, look, there's no way out for Yaqub alayhi salam. What is he going to do? You want him to accuse his children? To tell him, like, oh, you guys are such terrible kids? Is he going to go and tell his kids that you guys are such evil kids? How dare you do this? He doesn't even have evidence that they did anything. You want him to start accusing accusations without any evidence? He has no dalil of anything right now. Yaqub, I said, what do you want him to do? Hate his children? You know, he wants to hate all the kids from now on? He says, no, there's no other option. There's only one option. Sabr jameel ma'allahi ta'ala. Just be patient with Allah. Allah will take care of it. That's why Yaqub, at the end of this, he says, Wallahu al-musta'an. Allah is the one whose help is desired. Allah is the one. He is al-musta'an. He is the one that when you have no one else to help you, Allah is musta'an ala ma tasifun. From whatever you just said to me right now, my Allah will be the one to fix this problem. I won't say anything. Allah will take care of it. Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was accused by people around her that she committed waliyadu billah, that she committed zina, she said, ma aqulu illa ma kama yaqulu Abu Yusuf. She said, I will not say except how the father of Yusuf alayhi salam said, fasabrun jameel. Wallahu musta'an. Allah will help me. Ala ma tasifuna, what you said. This is how it has to be. This is how it has to be. May Allah give us that understanding, inshallah. At this moment, subhanAllah, what we see is Yusuf, the brothers, and now Yaqub alayhi salam, he can't do anything. So he says, I'll treat you the same way I treated you before. I'll smile and enjoy the sabr, and I'll live with you. So the brothers go, and they sleep on a nice, comfortable bed that they have. Where is Yusuf alayhi salam sleeping in right now? He's literally sleeping in the water right now. The brothers come home at Isha, they have their dinner. What is the dinner of Yusuf alayhi salam right now? Nothing, right? Just water, maybe, if he wants to. And then you're looking at the walls that are guarding Yaqub alayhi salam's house. They're structured farm walls. Yusuf alayhi salam has dirt and gravel and all the different grime that's around him. He's not even clean right now. Could you imagine what he feels like? A Nabi of Allah alayhi salam in the bottom of a well, no food, no sleep, no nothing. This is who he is. People are telling me that I did this, I'm religious, I'm pious. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? The only thing I can tell you, my brothers and sisters of Islam, is that if Allah loves you, He will give you a bala. He will give you something. If He gives you it, it's because He loves you. He tested His anbiya with the things no one could ever be tested with. So Yusuf alayhi salam is sleeping in this difficult position. One night is going like this. Could you imagine the tears are coming from his eyes? And Yaqub alayhi salam, this is when his tears stop. And for the next 40-something years, they never stop. They never stop. He starts crying at nighttime. Ya Allah, this is the only person I can go to, Ya Allah. My son is gone. Where is he? But you promised me a khabar, a dream, a khab. Such a beautiful dream of my son. I know for a fact, Allah, you will fix this problem. At this moment, act one, scene two is finished. We go to act two. What do you find? Waja'at sayyara. A caravan comes. It's going through the area of the forest. And when they're going there, they go, fa'arsalu, they need some water. فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ They send out their scout who goes out and looks for water. فَأَدَلَى So he comes and he's carrying his bucket with him. So he comes with his bucket and he goes to some random well inside the forest, right? This well, mind you, doesn't have a bucket. That's why he has to carry his own. فَأَدَلَى دَلْوَهُ He carries his own bucket. So could you imagine that Yaqub alayhi salam, his sons, right? The 10 brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they threw Yusuf alayhi salam in such a bad well that doesn't even have a bucket for itself, right? You think anyone's going to come to water for that? Absolutely not. They were looking for this boy to die. But who sent the caravan? Rabbul Alameen sent the caravan. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So then what happens is that he throws the bucket down. And the bucket goes and it plops. It goes. And it comes right down, right? It hits the ground. It splashes. So Yusuf Aizam looks at the bucket. And at this moment, I'm telling you, there are some brothers that will look at the bucket and not climb in it. Right? Yusuf Aizam climbed in it, right? What would you and I say? Brother, tawakkul, brother. Brother, tawakkul. Brother, I have tawakkul, brother. I have tawakkul, brother. I trust Allah, brother. Allah will come and save me, brother. Like, subhanAllah, we would see that Allah has given us opportunity before us. And we say, no, Allah himself has to help me. There's no other way, subhanAllah. This is what we'll do. May Allah forgive, right? SubhanAllah, we're so tawakkul, we've become beyond what tawakkul is anymore. The ma'na, the kalima of tawakkul, forget it. We're somewhere else now. You're on some high-level general fiddos al-ala type of people. SubhanAllah, Allah forgive us. Look, when Allah gives you a helping hand, you take the hand, subhanAllah. This is Allah helping you, right? Go into the bucket, subhanAllah. People, unfortunately, they have some twisted understanding of tawakkul. So then job after will come. And this will happen. Many, may Allah forgive. But I tell people that, look, even if it's a bad job, just take the job. If you need it for sustenance, livelihood, it's not the job you wanted, but it's a good job, right? It's something you can give you some money. They don't want to take it. I don't understand why. I don't get it. Like, you've been living miserable. Just take the job, subhanAllah. Your parents want to do this for you. Take the help. Just, bichara, Allah is giving you a helping hand. You don't want to take it. You know? Then they say, brother, I have tawakkul. I'll slap your tawakkul, man, subhanAllah. This is not tawakkul. It's not the way of the anbiya. Anbiya teaches tawakkul. You don't teach me tawakkul. You teaching me tawakkul? Anbiya teaches tawakkul. The bucket came down. You guys have climbed into it. So what does the guy say? He's pulling. He said, well, this is a heavy bucket. Fadala dalwa. He's pulling. He's like pulling it up, wheeling it up. He's like, a boy. Like, wow, mashallah, it's a boy. You know, it's a boy, mashallah. He goes and says, oh, goodness. Oh, gracious. We found a boy. You know, like, they're amazing. Oh, Yusuf is saved. Yusuf is saved. Alhamdulillah, right? What a great experience, right? So they take Yusuf and they take him. It's like, all right, that's great. And so they pack him. They put him into the caravan. They tie him up. They tie him up. And they keep him in there. فَأَصَرُوهُ بِضَعَى They leave him secretly as merchandise. Allahu Akbar. Are these good guys? SubhanAllah. The one who saved Yusuf from the well were probably the worst people that can pick him up at that time. Because these are not normal people. These are slave traders. And they found a boy that they could sell in the market. Allahu Akbar. Is this better than the well or worse than the well? SubhanAllah. Like, you're like, oh my God, this is unbelievably horrible. This is child abduction. This is literally child trafficking. This is slave, you know, mentality right here. This is what's happening right now. It happened to a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alayhi salam. This is what's happening, subhanAllah. You're telling yourself it's a worse situation, but I want everyone to understand, do you know where he's going to go next? Right? There's something good that's going to happen, right? So I'm trying to tell everyone, when you're looking at the moment, you're like, this is terrible. But I'm telling you, the situation afterwards is going to be much better. But sometimes we get so stuck in the situation, we don't realize that it's going to be much better later on. So what happens to him? He gets put in this position, right? And this is why I tell people, my brothers and sisters in Islam, when you look at the Palestinian brothers and sisters, remind yourself, subhanAllah, if they were to die here, they are not dead. They're shuhada, they're martyrs with Allah Ta'ala. The only thing you're going to find is they're happy right now. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. They are happy right now. You and I are crying here, but they're with Allah Azza wa Jal as martyrs, shuhada, inda Allah Ta'ala. They're good, mashallah. So may Allah grant us that understanding. So Yusuf alayhi salam, they hide him as merchandise. Wallahu alim bima yaf'alun. Allah says, and I know everything that they're doing. Don't worry, no one gets away with anything. Allah said, I will punish them for this. Because slave abduction, this is terrible, right? Could you imagine Yusuf alayhi salam, at the moment that he gets out of the well, so happy. He's like, oh, finally, they're going to return me to my father. They tie him up and they wrap him and they put him inside. Allahu Akbar. So at this moment, subhanAllah, we have to remind ourselves that sometimes we're in a situation that might look bad, but it's going to go here, where? So they take him to the market. They go straight. They go take him to the market. Some of them say that they were trading like multiple times. Other people said they went straight to Egypt and started to sell Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, right? So they brought this boy out. What is the value of this boy? I know it's a weird question, right? But like, think about it. This boy's chehra is beautiful and he's a Nabi of Allah. His value is, subhanAllah, this is priceless. Fasharahu bi thamanin bakhs, darahima ma'duda. They sold him for a very, very measly price. A couple of dirhams. Like literally they said, who wants this for $3? Who wants this beautiful boy for $3? And someone's like, oh, I'll take him, right? So, like that, Allahu Akbar, Yusuf alayhi salam, Nabi of Allah. I tell, remind everyone that you might be so beautiful, your amal might be so beautiful, but only beauty can see beauty. Okay? Only beauty can see beauty. And so what happens is sometimes, Allahu Akbar, someone will look at us and not look at our true value. Trust me, if you're not being valued, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam wasn't valued at all. Okay, they sold him for the smallest thing. But again, why are they selling him so quickly? Because they're thinking, let's make a quick buck out of him and sell him, get rid of him, because obviously his parents are going to start looking for him. They were free from him. So what happens? The one who bought him from Egypt, he goes and tells his wife, Akrimi Maswa. He brings Yusuf alayhi salam with him and brings him before the wife, and he goes and says, oh, and Yusuf is walking with the man who bought him and purchased him, and he sees this wondrous palace before him, amazing, luxurious palace before him. And he walks through, he sees all the servants and all the fountains and all the food and all the beverages and everything. He's been hungry for some time, right? He sees everything, subhanAllah. And then he sees, mashallah, this wonderful, amazing room. And then he sees the wife of the minister, and then he goes and says, the minister says, Akrimi Maswa, make sure to take care of him, honor him for his long stay, Maswa. Honor him for his long stay. He's going to be here for a while. Asa an nattakhidhu yanfa'ana aw nattakhidhu walada. Maybe he'll give us some benefit, or maybe we'll take him as a son. So Yusuf alayhi salam is finding himself in a situation of adoption, mashallah. He finds himself, alhamdulillah, in a situation which is so much better than he was. And now he looks at this position, and so now they start to give him the clothes of the person who lives in the palace, the food of a person who lives in the palace, and the drink of a person who lives in the palace, much better than that which his brothers were sleeping in, is the house of Yusuf alayhi salam at this very moment. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَكَّنَّا. That's how we gave Yusuf alayhi salam a position and place in the world. Allah said, this is not from you or him or him. It's Allah that said, this is from me. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ. So we can teach him. مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْحَدِيثِ. So now he can learn how to interpret speech very well. I'm telling you, brothers and Islam, when Yusuf alayhi salam was gotten out the well, again, what was he thinking about when he just finished? He thought that these people are going to be good people. But he realized right away that not everyone who speaks good actually means good for you. And he learned that before these slave traders, he learned it from his brothers. He thought his brothers were going to take him out to play. He realized, subhanAllah, not everyone who speaks good means good for you. Yusuf alayhi salam is going to learn a lot of stuff. A minister is a politician. He's going to learn a lot of stuff. He's going to go through all the different rooms and hear how different people speak and learn about these things. Allah says this is a learning experience for you. This is what happens to us. Allah forgive. My last thing, inshallah, and then we'll go. There's already 8 or 5, I know. Okay, mashallah. You can look at a trial from Allah, a test from Allah, and you can become bitter as heck. People will become bitter. They'll become so bitter, they'll become so angry and upset. Or you can look at the trial and test from Allah as a learning experience, as a sabak from Allah. Because in reality, all the tests are, the same way a test is a sabak from the teacher. So you have to remind yourself, when you're going through a trial, tell yourself, Allah is teaching me something. I should learn something. Yusuf alayhi salam did not become bitter and upset. I became a child slave. I was thrown in the bottom of the well. He did not become bitter or upset. He learned something from everyone, and it's going to help him out. Because right after this moment, Allah Ta'ala says, Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. Allah has full command over his matter. Allah has, no one has power over this except for Allah. Allah says, I'm the one who decides. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. Walakin aktharan nasi la ya'lamun. Majority of people do not realize how much Allah Ta'ala plans our lives. After this moment, Yusuf alayhi salam, mashallah, grows up to a very, very, mashallah, amazing, wonderful, handsome man, youth, strong individual. And subhanAllah, this very beauty that Allah has given him becomes the next test for him in the story. But obviously, we're done with Act 2, Scene 1. So we need to go to Act 2, Scene 2 next time, inshallah. May Allah grant us all tawfiq, Ya Rab. May Allah allow us that when we see a trial before us, we have sabr jameel. May Allah grant us the afiyah that we need, Ya Rab. May Allah grant afiyah for our Philistine brothers and sisters, inshallah. May Allah grant them the best, Ya Rahman Rahimin. May Allah make those who died from them the shuhada, Ya Allah. And those who are alive from them, Ya Rab, and grant them afiyah and nusra, Ya Rahman Rahimin. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa sallam. Before you go, just we have a fundraiser here. Alhamdulillah for the Boston Muslim Cemetery. Mashallah, it's the first Muslim-owned cemetery that we have, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. They took about $1 million to develop the land, and they took about $400,000 afterwards, $1.4 million in total, to develop it as well, mashallah. So then, alhamdulillah, from all the same stuff that they're doing, they have roughly about $300,000 or so left, plus they want to have, every year, maintenance is about $10,000 to $12,000. So they're trying to cover maintenance costs as well. So again, mashallah, this is one of the most mubarak efforts in our area, alhamdulillah, one of the first Muslim-owned qabristan that we have. So we should try our best to take a part as well. Along with that, if you want to, inshallah, buy a grave, they have about 100 left. And so each one is about $3,000 for reservation if you'd like to purchase a grave for yourself. It is jais to do so. Just, you don't know where you're going to die, okay? So if you're going to have to give it up to someone, just remember, you can't just hold it on, you stingy guy. One of the brothers, he said, don't worry, Mullah, we'll leave one for you. I said, why would you say that to me? Like, I said what he said. I was trying to tell you, Rafiq, but he just told me that. I was so shocked. I thought, is he going to kill me now? Like, you know, like, am I going to, he saved me a reservation? Like, I don't want, this is not a reservation you want, right? Like, you get a reservation at a hotel, not at a, for a cover. Allah Akbar. So if you like to, inshallah, purchase one, inshallah, you can. And that helps out also with the cost as well. May Allah grant us all tawfiq. And lastly, inshallah, tomorrow is our Quran Dars. We're starting our first Dars of Quran after Maghrib Salah. So please, inshallah, if you'd like to sit for like 30, 40 minutes, learn some of the meanings of the Quran, please come, inshallah. Jazakum khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.